Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Hallelujah. Oh, he is awesome and omnipotent. Oh, when I think about his goodness and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank you for saving me. Anybody glad about being saved this morning? Translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So listen, we've been talking about a subject that is extremely important to the body of Mashiach in this day and this age. It's important for people to know that we're set apart. And we are set apart. We're called to holiness. What is holiness? It's a set apart lifestyle. But people must see the set apart lifestyle. So when you are out and about on your jobs, whatever things that you're involved in, your family, they need to see that there's power in the name of Yeshua. He transforms lives. Lives don't remain the same. And so we've been talking about the importance of us. Holiness in the Hebrew is the word kadosh, means a set apart lifestyle. Because you are a walking testimony. Did you know that? Tell your neighbor you're a walking testimony. You're a walking testimony. People see the set apart lifestyle by being in contact with you and seeing it shine through you. The Bible says, what man would take his light and hide it under a bushel? We're supposed to let the world see our light and see the good works. That who do they glorify? They glorify Yahweh. So we as believers are called to a set-apart lifestyle. Amen. And so turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter. This is what we've been dealing with. And even last week, we were talking about we want to be holy because the core is love. We want to do the will of Yahweh. We want to give ourselves to Yahweh because we love him. And because we love him, we're motivated to want to do his word. Because we love him, we're motivated to want to work in his kingdom. We don't want to be motivated by anything else. We don't want to be motivated by fear. We don't want to be motivated by being afraid we're going to go to hell. Well, if that's the only reason that you serve in Yahweh, you just might go there anyway. It's the love for him that's going to keep you. We ain't afraid of Satan. I'm not motivated by fear. I'm motivated by love, which is the power of Yahweh, the power of his Holy Spirit. Love causes me to do the things that I do. Love causes me to go out and work for his kingdom. Love causes me to embrace you. Love caused me to give the gospel to everybody. Because I don't want to see nobody lost. So that is why, that is the motivator. And our belief in Yahweh, and when we use love as a motivator, and we know that his word is true, and we believe it and we act on it, that's faith. So I like to say that love is the greatest motivator, and faith is the greatest activator. Amen. Because everything that we need is activated by faith in the kingdom. And to activate that faith, believe in Yahweh's word, we're motivated by love. Motivation of love causes me to love you in spite of what you say and what you do. Because man's love will kick you to the curb. But Yahweh's love will say, come on up off that curb. I love you anyway. Who needs that kind of love? I need that. But that's the love that we want to operate in. So, Galatians, the fifth chapter, and we want to go to the 19th verse. Now, this is what we've been talking about. But we're about to get to, do you guys know Nitty and Gritty? You know Nitty and Gritty? We're about to go see Nitty and Gritty. Because what it is that us as believers, we can be convinced that we have a false sense of holiness just because we attend church. But what is the life like when you leave outside these doors? And we talk about sin. Sin is more than just laying up in somebody's bed, people. So we about to go to Nitty and Gritty, and we about to find out what they got to say about it. But let's first start by going to the 19th verse in the fifth chapter of Galatians. Now, what does it say? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which is these. And these are obvious. The works of the flesh are manifest means they're obvious. They're out there. They're apparent, right? It doesn't take a 5A to Kappa to say that this is sin. It's sin. And so it says they're this. And it says what? Adultery? Well, we know that. Fornication? We know that. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And you might know, what is all that? That's what we've been doing. We've been breaking down all these. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And such like means, and things like it. So, did you hear the list that I just read? Is there something that you're involved in that's not on this list? Don't answer the question. Somebody say, yes, I didn't see this on there. I didn't see sexting on there. Well, let me tell you about that. It says, and such like. Meaning that there's stuff on here that you might see, not see the words on here, but they're like the stuff that we just read. Right? So you can extrapolate, as we say in science. Means that you can pull out this truth from this truth. Right, Teresa? All right. Fellow science shippers. Okay, so once we know that, and it says, and I told of which I tell you before, and I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. So those that do such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Those that do the things that are listed, and those that do such like. And so last week, we were talking about a part of such like. Because sometimes as believers, we can find ourselves in some areas that we think that we ought at, and we not. And we found out, if you turn to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, and we looked at the sixth verse. And we talked about the importance of, yes, we get our instructions from the word of Yahweh. But a lot of times, and we'll read, you got 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, sixth verse, let's see. If you got it, say, I got it. Who also hath what? Made us ministers, able ministers, able minister. So you think that he's just talking about these brothers that's sitting on the front row? Ministers of the gospel. That means that you tell people about what? Yeshua. You tell them about the gospel. So tell your neighbor, you minister the gospel too. So therefore, he's talking to all of us. And it says able. So that means that we can do it. How do we do it? How can we be able ministers of the gospel? Y'all, just tell your testimony. Talk about what he did for you. Talk about you didn't have no money, but you found $5 while you was crossing the street and nobody was around, so you knew that that was just dropped there just for you, and you picked it up, and you was able to get you something to eat because you was wondering how you was going to eat. That's a testimony. And what you do is say, guess what? I was down to my last 5 cents. But as I was walking down the street, he told me to cross over on 5th and Western. And when I crossed over in 5th and Western, my lunch money was laying right there. And somebody says, what? And you say, that's the God that I serve. He provides. He's a provider. He knows what I need even before I know what I need. And he supplies what I need before I even know that I needed supply. That's the God that we serve. So you are able to share the gospel just by your testimony. Anybody got a testimony up in here? If I was able to let you testify right now, which I am not, but if I was, how would you praise him with that testimony? I know you, right? Okay? So you got to remember, we want to preserve our testimony, because when we live unholy lives, it kind of cancels out our testimony. It don't mean nothing. But there's other aspects that make our testimony not mean anything. Third, chapter 6, verse. Who also made us ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter or the law or just what's written, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit bringeth. So when you bring the word to people, you got to bring it not just, you don't do this and you're not supposed to do this. No, it's, you're going to do that because you love. You're going to do the right thing because you love. Yeah, but that is the spirit of it, right? And so Yeshua was always criticized because he had the church people, the Sadducees and the Pharisees criticizing him for certain things that he was doing, because they're saying, the letter says this. But Yeshua was motivated by love, the spirit of the law, and not what? The letter of the law. Because guess what? The letter is cold-blooded. What did it say the letter does? If we ain't got no spirit and we just use the letter, what did it do? We'll kill it. What does it kill? Does it actually physically kill people? It could kill people. It could kill people's spirit. It could destroy people. It could discourage people. When a person is trying to get into the knowledge of Yeshua and you say something and strike them down and you ain't got no love in it, that kills something in them. It might not be physical murder, but it's spiritual murder. Bible says, I would not quench a smoking flax. What does that mean? Somebody, they might not be on fire, but they just may be just smoldering a little bit. Anybody ever seen an ash that's just really small and it got little one piece of orange on it? Well, that the ash ain't cold. That ash still got a little fire in it. And we don't want to quench that. What do we want to do? We want to blow on it. And when I say, when you blow on an ash, it starts to what? That spreads that fire, right? If you throw water on it, what happens? It puts it out. And Yahweh don't want to put out no smoking flag. He wants to encourage the flag. Come on, flag. Come on, get stronger. Come on, get stronger. Burn a fire. And before you know it, that thing is a raging fire. So you want to be in the spirit. You want to be in love. So we talked about this last week. It's important for us to give this. And so when we go to 1 Corinthians, let's go there. And it was the 13th chapter that we was on last week. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Tell your neighbor, he's talking about church people. Hello, church. When I say that, because we'd be like, oh, well, that don't apply to me. He's talking about people that's unregenerated. No, 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 no. He's talking about saved people, because y'all do some grimy stuff sometimes. And he needs to talk to you. It's like, uh-uh. That's not how it's supposed to go, my children. And so 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 6th verse says what? Oh, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Got it? 1 Corinthians 13. Got it? Say, I got it. First verse says what? Though I what? Speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not Charity is love, agape, the love of Yahweh. And it says, if I, even though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, that means I believe that I'm spiritual, I'm in the spirit. But if I have not love, I am become what? Sounding breath, tinkling cymbal. Let's go to the next verse. Number 2 says what? And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, even faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not charity, I am nothing. Wow. Isn't that powerful? So we can believe we're doing all these things as believers, but if we don't have love, it says, I am nothing. So we got to be careful as believers. We got to walk this life of holiness, but it has to be real. We have to be motivated by love. And that's where we miss the mark sometimes. So it's interesting that he would speak to the church in this way, because he saw these things happening. He saw the letter killeth and the people weren't operating in the spirit because they had the Holy Ghost. He saw people thinking that, oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But if you don't have love, well, I'm an usher, I'm a deacon. You know, where's the love? Well, I do this and I do that. But are you doing it as love? Is love the motivator? Or is status the motivator? Sometimes pride can be the motivator. Guess what? Sometimes vanity could be the motivator. I want to look good. I want to stand up in front of people. But if your love is not the motivator, it means nothing. Tell your neighbor, when I work for Yahweh, I want it to mean something. That means I got to love. Do we have any lovers in the house? All right, let's get that straight, because we got to understand what our motivation should be. So let's go, and I want to say this. When we do things for Yahweh, have you guys ever did anything that you really love? Good stuff, not no bad stuff. I'm not talking about sin. You used to love that. You don't love that no more. I'm talking about some of y'all might love to cook. Oh, you ain't got... Sisters, y'all don't love to cook? Oh, well. We got all these shows, Chef, Master Chef, and I see these people, and they love cooking. Some of y'all love to maybe hike. What do y'all love to do? Just yell out some stuff. Read, what else? Gardening, what else? Traveling, what else? Crafts, sewing, whatever. And when you love to do that, how do you do it? You do it excellently. You just, and I was telling somebody the other day, you know, I used to be the minister of music here, and I used to actually play the keyboards, and I used to do the choir, and I used to learn the songs. Well, there's no written music for songs that we sing. You all think that, oh, there's a song book, and all you got to do is go out and play it. No. 90, where we're not at? 90%, there he is, 90% of the stuff that's out there that we were saying don't have no music to it, right, bro? So that means that we have to listen to it with our ear, and we have to pick out the song parts. So I would have to learn the song, then I would have to listen to what the soprano was saying in the host, ding, 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 I'm like, ah, ah, and then I'd be, ah, ah. And I have to figure out the soprano song. Then I have to figure out, rewind it and listen to the alto part. And then I have to go down to the tenor part. Do you know how long that took? Hours. Because I had to figure out what every part was. Then the words are not written, so I had to figure out what the words are. But because of my love for the ministry of Yahweh, it didn't matter how long it took. I wanted to be able to know everything. So when these people came up on the stage for rehearsal that night, I would be able to give each and every one of them everything that they need so that they could bring it all together and make a beautiful sound for the people of Yahweh when Sunday came. What was the motivator? Love. Because I love what I did. And it's interesting because when I became into the ministry and would get together my messages, and the Holy Ghost would say, thus and so and so and so. And the Holy Ghost says, and then I write it down. And he was like, go here. And I would go there and write it down. And then he said, cross-reference this word with that. And I would go and do that. Because it was his message, not my message. It is his message, not my message. Do you know how long that process takes? Hours. Guess what? Days. But I'm willing to do it how long it takes because I love what I do. I love Yahweh. And no matter how long it takes, I'm going to do whatever it takes to do the work of Yahweh. Now, does that make me special? Absolutely not. It makes me in love with the God that I serve. And the same love that I demonstrate for what I do is the same love you should demonstrate for what you do. Even if the only thing that you're doing for Yahweh is living a life before him that other people can see your witness, do it because you love Yahweh, and he did so much for you. He provided so much for you. He lifted you out of some crazy situations. He set you on a rock. He protected you. He gave you a job so that you would be provided and have a roof over your head. Maybe you was addicted. He took the addiction out of your mouth. He took the alcohol out your mouth or the drug out your vein. So because of what he did for you, love him and serve him and live a life upright before him. What's the motivation? I need you to say it louder. What's the motivation? Love. That should be all of our motivation. We shouldn't be motivated by nothing else but love. Okay, so when we go here, hallelujah. I don't know if we got to nitty and gritty yet. Okay. So, let's go to 2 Corinthians before we get to this next part. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, the second verse. We were there, we're just kind of turning back. Well, Pastor Tom, you know, we go on a lot of scriptures because the Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. We need to study the word, every aspect, so that we can tie all these concepts together. So 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, the second verse says what? Ye are epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Mashiach, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the y'all, your motivation has to come from your heart. You gotta wanna do this because you have a heart for this. You know what I've found out just by observing the Christian world? Time is too short to play church. Too many other things. If you're gonna play church, you're wasting your time. He's not looking for believers who are going to play church. He's looking for believers who are going to be the church. He's looking for you to be the church. He's not looking for you to put on some facade. Because don't you know where hypocrite comes from? Hypocrite comes from Hippocrates, the Greek. And in Greek drama, when they were playing a role as an actor, they didn't put on makeup. They put on a mask. And whatever that character was, they would put on a mask for that character. And that was called Hippocrates. And Yeshua was one of the first ones to use it in regards to Christians. Because Christians, instead of being real about it and keeping it 100, They would put on a mask and act like they was Christians, but the life was not reflecting that it was a heartfelt thing. So that's what we want to do. We want to put it on the tables of our what? Not written with ink, but on the what? Fleshly tables of our heart, right? And it says, and such have we through Mashiach to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Say without Yahweh in our lives. Say it. We're nothing. We're nothing. It's about Him in our lives, not about ourselves. And it says, but our sufficiency is of Yahweh, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, and we know the letter killeth with the spirit being life. Okay, so let's go to Proverbs. Good, I have a little time to go there. Let's go to Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Hey, what is the book of Proverbs called? Book of Wisdom. Because some of us need wisdom. You know, it's so interesting. There is a term that I heard the other day, and it's called spiritual illiteracy. Wow. So many believers are not literate in the spiritual things. They're not reading the word. They're not applying the word to their lives. So when people see some of us who are spiritual illiterate and we think we're spiritual, because spiritual illiteracy doesn't come, it doesn't, that term doesn't apply to people out in the world. Why? Because they're not spiritual. It applies to spiritual people. Tell your neighbor, it's about us. See, I was about to say it's about you, and then they would get, what you mean? It's about me. I'm including ourselves in that. It's about us, right? We don't want to be spiritual illiterate. We want to know the word and apply it to our lives. So the book of wisdom, we need wisdom. Now, prefacing this to say, so many times we are so quick to point the finger of sin at other people. You did this. You did that. Because some sins, as it says in the passage that we read not too long ago, are evident. But some are not quite as evident. But guess what? It's still sin. So as I was perusing the word, I found some things that are not as evident. So we're about to read nitty and gritty. And so the 6th chapter, if you got the 6th chapter of Proverbs, you got it? Let's go to the 16th verse. How about it? And the first word is these, right? So let's read this together. These 6 things doth Yahweh, what? Whoa! So if Yahweh hates something, it must be pretty bad. Now, if I were to ask you, the church, what does Yahweh hate? Okay, you would say, oh, he hates adultery, and he hates fornication, and he hates when we be cussing and stuff. He hates when people be murdering each other. Oh, those are some obvious things, right? But guess what? There's some other stuff that he hates. That believers think they got their slate clean. They think that their life is all pristine. They think that they cool. They think that they upright. They think that they got their Pharisee hat on. And they looking down on the adultery and the fornication and all of the murderings and all that stuff. And they looking down saying, yeah, I can't believe. Girl, can you believe that they would do it? Oh, they did that? But I turn to this scripture, and it tells us there's six things that Yahweh hates. So I'm wondering if some of that stuff that we just said is in here. You want to find out? Okay, let's just check it out. Now, wait, before he wants to go to it, but he says, yay. You know, every time I hear yay in the Bible, it just sounds like, it's like, come on. You know, like, yeah. You know, I'm about to lay this down. And it says, six things doth Yahweh hate. Yay. Seven are an abomination unto him. Okay, so when we've seen abomination before, we think, oh yeah, Pastor Tom, and I just remembered one more thing that he hates. You know, he hates homosexuality and bestiality and stuff like that. Because what do we say about that? It's a what? Abomination. Those things are what? Evident or obvious. So let's see if the things that Shanae just said are in this passage. Okay, so it says, 16 doth Yahweh hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. And it says, the 17th verse, what? A proud number one. Oh, what is a proud look? You walking around here thinking you stuck up and all that. Somebody give me some glasses. Scott, let me see your glasses. Somebody come in church that you don't know and you ain't never seen before that's a visitor. Well, it happens. I can tell you some people that have come to church and they get looked from the top of their head to the soles of their feet and back up again. Not by people in the world. Church people, you checking out. Well, proud look means that you got it going on. And anybody else is suspect. Well, according to this scripture, Yahweh hates a proud look. Now, I'm created in his image, as you are too. So if Yahweh hates it, I hate it too. What's the next one? A lying tongue. I still haven't seen sex in there yet, because we already know that's evident. You going around telling lies. Now, you might tell a little truth, but a little truth with a lie in it is a straight-up black lie. Oops. I'm sorry. Because sometimes we use a white lie and think that a white lie is better than a real lie. But since we add color to it, I'll just say, okay, well, white lie is good, a black lie is bad. That's what people say. What? What happens with the dude that rides on a black horse? He's what? He's supposed to be the bad one. But what we do is we excuse ourselves. Well, it wasn't that much of a lie. Believe. Who are we talking to right now? Who are we talking to? Hello, church. Listen, this is not Pastor Tom's opinion. My opinion doesn't mean anything. I draw my opinions from the word of Yahweh. And whatever the word of Yahweh says, that's what I'm going with. So, believer, if you think you got a lying tongue, if you got a lying tongue, whether you think you do or not, Yahweh hates it. And as a believer, you should hate it too. Okay, what's the next one? Hands that shed innocent blood. Sometimes you can create social killing, you lying on somebody. They leave the church. You chase them out for whatever you want to do. Because people have gone because of things that believers have said to them. They're not in leadership. They're just regular bench members. You saying stuff as a believer. Stuff that you ain't got no business saying. Stuff that's a lie of truth. And people get what? Injured. Innocence. Blood. The word of Yahweh says, these are my children. Touch not one of these. It'd be better if a millstone be tied around your neck and you get dumped into the ocean. See, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to expose false holiness. Because I need you believers to be right. And when people come in here, you need to know that just because they might have done a sin, you can also commit some things that Yahweh hates. And I've seen this done time and time again. What else does he hate? A heart that what? Devises wicked imagination. Ooh. A heart. You making up stuff. Wickedly. You're trying to tear down and rip up something. Wickedly. Because it got to go back to the motivation of love. If you want to do something, if you want to say something, you best go back to what is motivating you. Is it love that's motivating you? Or if it's something else? Is it wickedness that's motivating you? Is it evil? Is it jealousy? That can't happen in the church. Are there haters in the body of Mashiach? Yahweh forbid. We get people to get blessed with something. Yeah, I wonder how they got that. That's wicked. You should be, anytime somebody gets blessed in this body, you should be rejoicing with them. Somebody drive up in a used car, you say, hey, he's able. If he can do it for you, one day he gonna do it for me. And we should be rejoicing with them. I never forget when Jeremy drove up here in that new Accord, I was like, oh, hallelujah. I praise God for you, brother, because your Civic was on two wheels. But I wanted to see him blessed. So that when he came driving up in that long black Accord limousine, I said, hallelujah. Matthew came here from St. Louis and couldn't rub two nickels together. Now the brother is driving a black chrome wheel, 22-inch. Got a job. Two jobs. I went from a sinner to a winner. Hallelujah. But that is the blessings of Yahweh. We should rejoice when we see prosperity, because it shows us that the word of Yahweh works. It's still working. It's still working with my brother and my sister. But some people are so motivated by spirits, not the spirit, but spirits, that they find themselves into some stuff that Yahweh hates. Okay. A heart that devises wicked imagination. What's the next thing he hates? Feet that be swift in running. Oh, girl, did you hear what happened? Did you hear what they did? Oh, my God. And we as people, when we tell a story, I could start the story down from here. And tell y'all to whisper it in each other's ears. And by the time it gets to the back, it's a completely different messed up story. If you are running to trouble, and if you run into mischief and you getting all involved in your flesh and doing and passing on stories, whether they be true or not. Because see, even if you're passing on a true story, what is your motivation? Are you motivated because you care about the person and you want to see the person redeemed and you want to see the person correct their error? Or are you just trying to tear something up? You're trying to destroy somebody's character. Hey, guess what? It says feet that run the mischief. Well, last I checked, feet was attached to a person. It ain't roaches running telling stuff. It's people. Guess what? If you have a heart that devises wicked imaginations, and if you got feet that are, and it don't say running to mischief, it says swift running. You can't wait. You cannot wait to drop that dime. You can't wait to get on your cell phone. You can't wait to text it. And this is how you set it up. Ooh, I got something to tell you. What is it? See, and you, as believers who receive that stuff, you co-signing that foolishness. Where you enter right on in. See, this is, wait, don't say this is Pastor Tom's opinion. I could say some stuff off the top of my head, but I don't have to because it's already written in the word of Yahweh. So if you are having a heart that devises wicked imaginations, you got feet that are swift to run into mischief, Yahweh hates it. And when I see people hurt behind things done the wrong way, I hate it. Because some people, can you believe that some people glory in seeing that? Seeing stuff spread? Some people love that. That's not of Yahweh, because he already said he hates it. Okay, what else does he hate? A false witness that speaketh and, wait a minute, a false witness that spread. Not only are you speaking lies, but you're what? Spreading it. These are not, I haven't seen fornication and adultery and homosexuality and stuff in this whole passage, because that stuff is obvious. Guess what? To all you people that think that your sin ain't no different than somebody that's committing a sexual sin, I'm here to tell you, not true. And if you are doing any of these six things, your hands ain't clean. So they say, you pointing your finger at one person, there's a thumb that's pointing back at you. Now listen, I'm not against exposing what's wrong. You got to expose what's wrong. But you who are exposing wrong, make sure you get your stuff right. Because we can think that that is wronger. See, what you want to put on is an ER. What they did was wronger. No. Because according to this, there's six things that he hates. And anything that Yahweh hates ain't good. It's wrong. What's the seventh thing? He, somebody say she, he or she that soweth discord. Whoa. You know, I scanned the whole audience. We are supposed to be a body that's standing together. And so many people want to say things that is going to spread discord among the brethren. Well, I know how to do math. And I see six things that we just talked about. The seventh thing, because let's go back to the top. Let's read it. It says there are six things. What? Go to the first scripture that I read. Six things that Yahweh hate. Yay, seven are. So that tells me that the seventh thing is an abomination. Let's go skip all the way back to the seventh thing. The seventh thing being what? He that soweth. You want to break up stuff. Your motivation is not to help. Your motivation is to tear up, tear down, put people against each other. And I'm here to tell you, ain't no devil in hell gonna tear up what Yahweh has put together. Now, he may make us disagree with each other, but he ain't gonna break us up.
He ain't gonna break us up.
Okay, I love you too. I love you too. They can't mess with this. I don't care who it is. The devil ain't got no victory. We got this.
We got it. Amen.
Because the motivation is love. But see, some people want to see it torn up. It ain't going to happen. So what we need in this church are people that are going to stand up against discord. People are going to stand up against lies. People are going to stand up against running swiftly to danger and all that stuff. Who's going to stand up and fight against it? Who gonna fight against it? Because the devil thought he had victory, but he ain't got nothing. Matter of fact, he done made me mad at him. And I need somebody that's going to crush some head, going to step on some demon net. That's what I need. That's what he needs. That's what we need. You better ask somebody. So you can run, tell that all you want to. You can't mess with Yahweh's business. So y'all better. You better get on the holy train. You better, when you hear mess, you better squash that. But matter of fact, make sure that you get your life straight. Because Yahweh hates it. Now, does he hate the people? No. I need some of this right now. Does he hate the people? No. He hates the sin. He hates these actions. That's what he hates. And you, as true believers, you should hate it too. When somebody come to you with some dog dirty mess, cast it down in the mighty name of Yeshua. Cast it down. We got to fight. We got to intercede because, see, there's some things that y'all want to do with this ministry and with all these ministries. And we ain't going to let the devil have no place. That's why it says don't give him place. But you can give him place in your hearts by entering into this mess. Y'all better take Proverbs, and y'all better make sure that you clean. And make sure that you're not found in any of that stuff. Because I don't know about you. I want Yahweh to be pleased. I don't want to enter into anything that he hates. And are we going to be in agreement that we're going to do this in love? And we're going to do this in the power of the Holy Ghost. Father Yahweh, we thank you. We praise you for who you are in our lives. Yahweh.